Praise the Lord. My favorite subject. What can I say? By the way, let's get over the accent a little. You have the accent. I just speak English, okay? Actually, as you go more south, it gets worse. Have you heard Australian accents? That's weird. New Zealand accents, you can't even know. You can't even understand what they're saying, right? But anyway, it's good to be here. We're in North Idaho. It's actually a little paradise that nobody really knows about. We have 11 lakes just in a half an hour's drive from where we live. And we have three beautiful ski resorts. Not that I do any skiing, but we have the resorts. And so it's a wonderful place, and God's positioned us there. It's good to be. I want to take the opportunity just to thank Pastor Carl and Gloria. We're so humbled and so blessed that you would invite us to this conference, and Amanda and I are really touched by you and your team especially, and you know, the partners in crime that got us here, Barry and Becky and Rob and Linda, they're probably saying, I hope he just pulls it off today, and so we still have our jobs, but it's good to be here. I just want to tell you that I got born again many years ago. I'm not even going to tell you because then you can date me. But many years ago, got born again in South Africa in a revival. And I did not know any better. I just figured that that's what it was all about. And, you know, we'd go to church and 300 people fall over and get filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you know what I mean? We'd go to church. I went to church one day and I was sitting in the aisle and, or on the aisle, not in the aisle, on the aisle. And the pastor called people up to get healed and literally hundreds and hundreds of people came to the front, and I was sitting there, and I had my eyes closed, and I was praying, and I started smelling this terrible stench, and I looked down, and there was a guy standing right next to me, right next to the chair, and he had this terrible cancer on his leg. It looked like a blue brain on his leg, and I was like, oh, my God, and I started gagging, and I, oh, my Lord, help me. I was actually praying for me more than him. And so the pastor began to pray, and I was looking at that thing, and I was, oh my God, I'm gonna bring up. And suddenly this big brain thing just peeled off his leg and flopped to the ground like that. And I got such a fright, you know. And he bent down and he grabbed this cancer off the ground, came right past my nose like that, and he lifted it up in the air and he said, I'm healed. Hallelujah. And so that's where and so it just was natural for me. I thought, this is what church is all about. This is what, you know, being a Christian is all about. And so I love the Holy Spirit because I experienced Him many years ago and I live Him. And I took that life in the Spirit to heart in terms of your theme. Because I really believe that as Spirit-filled Christians, we need to take Pentecost. Well, first of all, we need Pentecost again in the church. And secondly, we need to know how to take it out of the church into our lives in a real and a practical way. Amen? Seems to be a little disconnect there. We need to connect the wires again. We need to, you know, that plug-in thing. We need to plug it into our lives as well. Amen? But let me start quickly with a story, an African story. Everybody asked me to share a story, so I'm going to share the story up front and get it, you know, dealt with, as it were. Just kidding. This is a good story. So Amanda and I were in Africa. We're in our 20s. We're preaching in sub-Sahara Africa, and we're traveling around from church to church and from community to community. We land up in a place called Kariba in Zimbabwe on the Lake Kariba, and there's an island on the lake, just off the land. It's called Fothergill Island, and there's a crazy guy that lives there and runs a safari lodge, but he's a Christian. So he invites us over to this island, and Amanda and I get there. It's quite a thing to get there. It took like 4 hours by boat, and then a Land Rover, and then this and that, and eventually we got to this island, and it was rustic and rough. This island is more like a peninsula. And what happened before the lake filled up, it was a migratory trail for animals, wild animals. And they still instinctively would come along the trail. And so you have herds of elephant and massive herds of buffalo that would land up at the end of this island or end of this peninsula. It's It was a wonderful place. One day he said, come on, let's go for a drive. And all the jeeps and all the vehicles were out with tourists, and there was just this old one that we had a push start in order to get it going. I was a little worried about that. And off we went, and we're driving along the lake, and there was a big bull elephant waiting in the grass next to the lake. He stopped the jeep and he switched it off. I thought, oh my Lord, I hope he knows what he's doing. And he picked up his rifle and he said, Gary, let's see how close we can get to this elephant. So he picked up his rifle. There was another guy, his name was Ricky there. Amanda said, I'm staying exactly where I am. I'm not moving. We got out of the Jeep or the Land Rover and we started walking towards this elephant. And I thought it was cool. He said, don't worry, the wind is blowing in the right direction. He can't see, he's blind, and everything's cool. Okay, I'm going to believe you, Rob. And off we go, walking through the grass. We get closer and closer. Eventually, probably from that pew, that front pew away from the elephant. And guess what? The wind changed. Before it was blowing very gently into my face. Now suddenly I sensed the wind at the back of my head. And guess what? That elephant sensed us. And he turned around and he picked up that big old trunk and he started to wave those ears and he charged us. And Rob said, stand dead still. Pretend you're a tree. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding. And so I got into the pose, you know. I noticed a little tree about this big. It was just grass, just a little tree there, and I still imagined how I could try and hide behind that little tree. But I knew it was hopeless, and he just kept charging, kept coming at us. And I said to myself, well, this is it. I'm going to die in the middle of Africa with an elephant's tusk through my chest. No rapture, no great glory, no meeting the Lord in the sky. And suddenly the wind changed again. And at that point, he was literally just a few paces away from Rob. And he could have tapped him on his forehead with his rifle. He was so close. And those big old ears were just going like this, and the dust was pluming over him. And I was wet, soaked wet. And it was just sweat, I can guarantee you that. And he started backing off slowly. And Rob said, okay, very slowly, step back, step by step. And we eventually disengaged, got back to the Jeep. And I said to Rob, that was the coolest thing I've ever experienced. Sometimes life is like a charging elephant that's coming down on you. Circumstances and situations in your life, your business, your finances, your relationships, whatever it is, it seems like trouble all happens at once. Amen? Sometimes, you know, I said to the Lord one day, could you just at least space trouble out? At least one a day around about noon. That would be very, very helpful. And that's what life is. The Holy Spirit has come not only to empower us to do great works for God, but to manifest our sonship in the Lord, to reveal who we are in Christ Jesus, to be able to stand against that elephant, stand firm and not be afraid, because the wind can change in a moment. Hallelujah. Amen. Romans chapter 8 is a beautiful chapter in the Bible. It's very meaningful to me. Romans chapter 8 really is all about trouble. You know, nothing will separate you from the love of Christ. And it goes through the whole list. I mean, you can imagine just about anything. Any trouble in your life, it's in that list. And then he drops, within this trouble chapter, he drops a teaching about the Holy Spirit that is so profound and so life-changing. He didn't talk about the gifts there. He didn't talk about how we minister to one another. He didn't talk about unity there. He was talking about you and me and the Holy Spirit. And he wasn't even, if you like, telling us about the Holy Spirit so that we can zap the circumstances. Go away. He was dealing with influences. How are you going to be influenced in your life? Who's going to be the greatest influence in your life? And I want to say to you this evening, you and I need to allow the Holy Spirit to be the greatest influence in our life. Not just on a Sunday morning, not just when you're praising the Lord and speaking in tongues, but when you walk out of this church and you face your circumstances, you face your elephants, you need to be more than a conqueror in all these things. Praise the Lord. Amen. Why do we react in the way that we do react? We panic. The Holy Spirit's there to comfort us. The Holy Spirit's there to strengthen us. The Holy Spirit is there to equip us. Amen? He's there to be our strength. The fruit of the Holy Spirit. People, you need to realize that the fruit of the Holy Spirit are not like our fruit. You know, the patience in the Holy Spirit does not need a result. You and I, when we're going to be patient, there better be a result at the end of that patience. Otherwise, what's the point? The Holy Spirit, or the fruit of patience, is a state of being. It's who we are. It's a mark of sonship. It's a mark of a child and a son of God. Amen? That's what it is. I'd like to read a couple of verses out of Romans chapter 8, verse 14. It says, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. And in Romans 8:26, it says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance to the will of God. Who knows that when trouble comes, it's like, God, what is your will? What on earth is happening here? You know, Lord, I asked for some answers. I asked for some solutions, and now everything is going crazy. What on earth is happening? We begin to question everything. The Holy Spirit this evening wants to empower you to rise above your circumstances. Amen. And instead of an elephant charging you, you need to start charging some elephants in your life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Why do our enemies react in the way they do? Why does things happen? This is what I'd like to try and bring light to for us this evening. So why do these things happen? You know, is it the devil? Is it the Lord? You know, what is going on? I think that's part of our problem, is we're not standing back and looking at the whole picture to understand how God has put things together for us and our lives. And that's what we want to do. And the Holy Spirit allows us to do that. He gives us the ability to see things that we don't normally see. He gives us the ability to understand things that we would never logically, in a cognitive way, understand. He gives us wisdom, revelation. Amen? He doesn't fill us with the Holy Spirit in church and then let us loose into the world out there to, you know, be overwhelmed by every circumstance. On the contrary, he is equipping us and providing for us. Amen? Do you believe that? Yes. Hallelujah. So there's a couple of things in this, or a few things, maybe more. Four. Actually, there's four things in this scripture. First of all, just before these verses, he's dealing with our inner struggles, sin. You know, he's saying that we need to walk in the Spirit. We need to resist sin. And he says, a son of God is one who's led by the Holy Spirit. How do we bring the Holy Spirit into our personal sort of struggles? Not just our circumstances, but our personal struggles. How do we allow him to give us the victory, if you like, to give us the sense that we are sons of God, that we're not going to cower and step back and be overwhelmed? Who knows that there's a difference between guilt and conviction? Amen? Guilt is after the fact. Conviction is real time. A lot of us rely on the guilt side because we know that God forgives us 70 times 7 times a day, right? And so, if I'm going to fall, if I'm going to go through this on the other side, I'm going to feel guilty, but the Lord is faithful and just to forgive me my sins. Amen? Some people say, well, Christians shouldn't feel guilty. If you've done something, you're guilty. Come on. Do you know what I mean? But God is able to forgive you, and he's able to set you free from that guilt. But it's the conviction that we need. Conviction means persuasion. Amen? That's the Holy Spirit right there while you're in the process of doing the dirty deed. Most of us, excuse me, Holy Spirit, I just need about 5 minutes. If you just wait at the door, I'll be back in a moment. Slam the door, let's get to business kind of thing. And then, oh my God, I'm so guilty. Open the door, Holy Spirit, I need you. Conviction's different. We allow him into the room. Amen? Yes. And so as I'm about to cuss somebody, he says, hey, what you doing? Huh? What? What are you doing? This guy's really rubbing me up the wrong way. Yeah, but don't do this. Why not? Well, let me explain. You've been doing this all the time, and it's backfired on you every time. Don't you realize it's getting you nowhere? Really? Yes. Okay. You win. That's what conviction is. That's the Holy Spirit in a person's life in a real, tangible, practical way. Someone say, okay, I'm just going to speak in tongues. I'm just going to prophesy right now. No, you need him to bring conviction. You need that accountability. You need him in a practical, supernatural way, if you like. Amen? And so that's what he was talking about. And then he talks about our status, our position in relation to the Holy Spirit. Then he talks about our prayer in relation to the Holy Spirit. Who knows that you don't know what to pray for as you ought when all this stuff is happening, famine, pestilence, sword, death, principalities, powers, you know, upset neighbors, car breaking. When all these things happen, you don't know what to pray for. What you land up praying for is, help me, Lord, this is unfair. Why does this have to happen to me? And the Lord's saying, there are people dying without Christ in China. They can wait right now, Lord. I need you right now in my circumstances. The Holy Spirit changes my whole culture and gets me into a victory mode. Gets me charging elephants for a change in my life so that I can really become effective in and out of season. Amen? The reason why a lot of people have gone south, and I don't mean that in terms of the south, right? Gone south on the Holy Spirit is because they've, in their minds, looked at us Pentecostals and then looked at our lives. And something didn't measure up in their minds. Now, a lot of that is messed up, but I think a lot of that is true. We just rely solely on the experience and not on the practical application of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen? Do you believe that? Praise the Lord. He wants to secure his influence in our life. And the only way we can allow him to do that is by his Spirit. Not by power, not by might, but by his Spirit. He is the one that transforms me. He's the one that changes me. He's the one that equips me, and he's the one that empowers me. He's the one that allows me to see it for what it is. He wants to transform me from the inside out, not from the outside in. We're always trying to change things from the outside in. If I can just win the lottery, or if I can just move some assets, or if I can just do this, it's going to feel a lot better, and we're all going to be. No, it has to come from within. And the Holy Spirit, as Barry says, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now dwells in you, and He will quicken your mortal bodies, hallelujah, at the great resurrection, but also in our resurrected life, if you like, right now. So He wants to secure that. Some of us, you know, we're so fascinated, we're so captivated by the things we think we don't have and not by the things we actually do have. We spend so much energy as Christians trying to find things, if you like, that we don't have, when in actual fact, all things that pertaineth to life and godliness have been given to you. Within you, by the Holy Spirit, everything you need has already been supplied, has already been delivered through Jesus Christ on the cross. And so we need to stop for a moment and begin to recognize what's inside and not what I need from the outside, because you'll never be satisfied by what's happening around you. It's quite clear in Romans chapter 8 that that's true. Amen? Inside out. He wants to secure His influence in our lives. You and I need to begin to inquire of the Lord. Amen? We need the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. We need Pentecost to be a reality in our lives. We need our tongue talking and our prophesying to really permeate every area, every part of our lives. Amen? And so we need to really look at things. Which side is up? When I was a kid back in Africa, I used to do a fun thing. I thought it was a fun thing. I used to go out on the lawn, and I used to lie on my back, and we had the southern sky, Milky Way. And I used to lie on my back, and I used to look at the sky, and I used to imagine that everything that is up is actually down. That was a crazy feeling. No, I'm serious. Try that one day. It's like, oh, I'm gonna fall. But, you know, the question is, what is up and down? You know what I mean? Where is up and where is down? How does it work? What's going on here? We need to inquire of the Lord. We don't just accept the plundering of our goods. We don't just accept these things. We understand what the Holy Spirit is doing through us and what He's trying to accomplish in us. Amen? Do you believe that? In order for us to do that, we need to go back to ground zero. And I'd like to go back, if you like, to Genesis. I'm just going to read a few verses. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. And God saw that the light was darkness, and He separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day." The Holy Spirit was one of the architects of this world that you and I live in. And what happened in the beginning wasn't just God creating this wonderful planet and universe, but God created time. If there's a first day, there will be a last day. Amen? That's what He created. He created time. That's not what heaven is like. Yes, where our problem is, because you and I have been touched by heaven, and we're still living on this earth, and this earth has certain rules and laws that govern us, even spiritually speaking. Everything has a beginning and an end on this world. If you're born, you're going to die. If a seed is sown and a tree is grown, it'll die. And another one will come. The sun will come up and go down. This world is not an eternal world. This physical body is not that way. I look in the mirror every morning and I notice gravity is having an awful effect on me. That's our problem. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, Solomon in all his wisdom, he talks about a time for this and a time for that, a time to plant, a time to uproot, a time to laugh, a time to cry, a time to embrace, a time to refrain. He goes on and on and on. Then he says something so profound. In verse 9, he says, what does the worker gain from his toil? This is our dilemma. He says, I've seen the burden God has laid on men. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men. Yet, listen to this, yet they cannot fathom God from beginning to end. That's our problem, is we just can't comprehend an eternal God in this time-restricted world. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit to discern what the Lord is doing, what God's saying. Amen? We don't only live in time, but we live now. Right now. Amen? Actually, we live in the moment. 5 minutes ago is gone. Right? You probably can't even remember what I said 5 minutes ago. We don't know what in the next 5 minutes what I'm going to do or say. You are living right smack bang now, right now in this moment. You're locked there. And that's the struggle that you and I face. Because I need God now. And I pray and I say, God, I need an answer today. Tomorrow comes, the next day, and suddenly he answers. What was that all about? I needed it 3 days ago. Why are you doing this to me, Lord? This is not fair. Don't you understand? We cannot fathom God. You can only realize and understand God by the Spirit. Amen? The Holy Spirit gives us that revelation, gives us that ability to see God for who He is. And that's why we can chase elephants, because we begin to understand that even though I'm time-locked, God is an eternal God, and He's working yesterday. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. It's kind of like two glass walls. I'm sort of locked between two glass walls. The wall in front is frosty and opaque, and the wall behind me is very clear. I can't get through them. And I look through the rear wall, glass wall, I see all my stuff in the past. It's like frozen in time. All the ugly stuff. That's why it's behind me. Don't look back. And these two glass walls are kind of moving at a God-appointed time. And I can't go forward and I can't go back. There's a little flexibility. I can go sideways. I can sidestep some things that are coming through the glass. I can jump high. I can fall very low. But I can't go ahead of me and I can't go behind me. Amen? But here's the deal. Through the blood of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit, you and I can penetrate those glass walls. The Holy Spirit allows me to go through, if you like, those barriers, takes me to those things that are locked in time, that are cemented there, that are ugly, and the Lord drops His blood on them, and they disappear. And my past is getting changed. I'm realizing now also that I can redeem everything from the past. Some of you say you can't. There's certain things you can't. No, you can redeem everything from the past. All things work to the good for those that love the Lord. Hallelujah. And so I'm like a time machine. I'm not just stuck there, you know, between those two glass walls. I can, by the Holy Spirit, penetrate through that glass wall, and I, together with Him and the blood of Jesus, can change the furniture of the past. Hallelujah. I don't have to just shut the door, please. It's done. I'm glad today has arrived. Now is the time of salvation. Today is the time of salvation. Today, right now, is the most important time of your life. This very, very moment, you have to make the right choices right now. You should not allow the enemy to infiltrate you and influence your life. You should be a son of God. Amen. You should walk in that victory. You know, we don't just have a train ticket to heaven one day. Hope we get that train, that last train to heaven. We are eternal beings right now. We are seated in heavenly places. We straddle between heaven and earth. That's the blessing, but it's also the problem. I cannot reconcile those two things. The Holy Spirit can, though. He can bring reconciliation there. Amen? And so we need the Holy Spirit in our lives. Praise the Lord. Listen to this, Colossians 1:16, "For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." So that's what he came to do. He didn't just come to reconcile us with the Father. That's the most important thing through the blood of Jesus, our salvation. He didn't just come to reconcile with one another. He came so that you and I can reconcile this time-restricted world with eternity forever. So that we can live right here, both at the throne of God and right here on terra firma. And I walk out of this church and I discover that I've got some more problems that I need to deal with. Many of those problems will pass away. Amen? Yes. I'm going to end off now. Many of those problems will pass away. We can stop the sun. What that really means is we're allowing eternity and earth, this earth, to become one. We can do that. But if we, for some reason, are not able to stop the sun, we do know this one thing. If it began, it will end. If you have a financial problem right now, God can supernaturally intervene for you right now. We'll pray for you this evening. But what you do know is that if it started, it'll end. That's the way this world was created. And the Holy Spirit was given so that you and I can understand that and be victorious in that. Hallelujah. Amen? If a storm begins, it'll end. God wants us to realize that, and God wants the Holy Spirit to be part of your practical life. He wants you to see things the way you need to see them, not the way you want to see them or you fear to see them. Amen? We need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives tonight. I'm going to be praying, we're going to be praying for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit here tonight. People will be healed and touched and ministered to. But we're going to take it and make it happen out there. Amen? We're going to allow the Holy Spirit to bear fruit in our lives. Because that's what God has sent him to do. Do you believe that this evening? Amen. And so time is your problem. By the way, your biggest problem is you. Did you know that? Even the devil, saying, well, the devil's my biggest problem. He has to get permission from you. So you, at the end of the day, are the root of your problems. It's true. Stand up and be a son of God. Be led by the Holy Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Don't pray in your fear. Pray in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Find his will despite the circumstances. Don't let the circumstances influence you. You begin to influence the circumstances in your life. That's what Pentecost is all about.